This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. I'm so happy to be here with you today on this wonderful, beautiful, sunny day, always looking into good and new possibilities. And we have a very special guest today, Ken Fish. He's going to talk about his passion for connecting people to the supernatural and about the tangible and practical reality of God of the Bible. He saw his mother instantaneously healed of oozing sores in her mouth, which launched him on a journey which he's still on, seeing God move miraculously. He believes that God loves you and will demonstrate this to you if you give him a chance. Welcome to the show, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, although I'm sweltering in Southern California heat.
I know. Me too, and I'm only 7 miles from the beach. What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is just what we have for right now. We need the wind to shift. That's what we need.
Yeah, so we'll pray for that. So, Ken, tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, you know, there's always the longer and the shorter version, but I started getting interested in the supernatural side of Christianity when I was at Princeton, and I was just reading the Bible, which, you know, as they say, can be a very dangerous thing to do. And I started seeing, you know, the many stories in the Bible of where God appeared to intervene supernaturally, you know, in the affairs of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, helping people with whatever their particular problem was. And there's all kinds of problems that people had. So it just depends on which one was it. In one case, it's, you know, a barren couple, they want to have a child. In another case, you know, Moses has to escape the Egyptian army. In another case, Jesus is going from one place to another, and he bumps into a funeral procession and raises a boy from the dead and comforts the mother by giving her once dead and now living son back. So I was reading these kinds of stories, and you know, I just thought to myself, I don't know anywhere where this is going on today. So what's up with that, as we would say today? I don't know that we were phrasing it that way then, but so I became interested in these supernatural dimensions of Christianity. Well, I began to, you know, pray into that and ask the Lord those questions. Why don't I see these things today? Where did all this go? And you could say through a series of unique circumstances, God's interventions, he led me to somebody that ultimately became kind of a mentor and a pastor to me. And I worked with him for several years. And while I was doing that, I began to see these kinds of things go on more and more. And now, I don't know, people come and seek me out to help them connect with God in this way. So that's probably the shortest version I could tell you.
Okay, very good. So what role do you think authenticity played in all of this for you, and maybe plays for those who are seeking the healing?
Yeah, I think authenticity is a really important thing, and for many reasons. Obviously, when we talk about God doing supernatural things, for a lot of people, there are at least 3 or 4 trip points in that one statement. Because many people don't even believe in God. Many people don't believe that if there is a God, that he does anything, quote unquote, supernatural today. Many people, maybe not unlike me, they've been Christians, or they've had some other kind of faith, and they've never really seen anything that they can validly and you know, with a straight face and not really any qualms about it, say, yeah, I saw God do something. And so all of these become trip points for people. And, you know, the other thing that I would say about authenticity is, and I learned this from John Wimber, who was the man I referenced a few moments ago, I learned from him that, you know, we never want to hype anything. We never want to say something is more than it is. And so for that reason, usually if I'm reporting on an event, or I'm, you know, describing something, or even trying to teach a passage out of the Bible, I will typically downplay it rather than play it up. I don't want things to be the sort of thing that if people investigate it, they're going to find that it was overstated. I always would rather that it be understated. So to me, that's all part of authenticity. But the other thing that I think a lot about when it comes to authenticity is I don't want to be someone who puts on airs or who seems affected. You know, we talk about affectation. Sometimes people have a particular tone in their voice, or they have a particular way of carrying themselves, or a kind of a demeanor. And it's all just very, I mean, in the end, it's contradictory to the message we're trying to bring. And so what we end up with is conflicting messaging between what we say with our mouths and then what we're doing with the rest of our lives. So when you ask about the role of authenticity, I might almost say what you're putting your finger on is congruence between who we are and how we carry out what we do. And so bringing all this back to the work that I do, I'm not a hypey kind of person. I have a social media presence, but I don't actually post every day. I'm not trying to whip the crowd into a frenzy. I never have. I never will. It's just not who I am. But in all that, God can still be God. And so with that, we see the supernatural often. But you don't. I'm not trying to turn that into a marketable. I don't know what you want to say. Marketable event, I guess.
That's wonderful. I love that. And I love what you said about authenticity is being congruent. That is so true. We don't have to turn into, I don't know, like an onstage persona, right?
Right.
You know what God can do. Other people can be helped because you know what God can do and they believe it. But it's not a show. It's not a circus. It doesn't have to be a circus. People do make it into that. So I really love that.
And you know, it's funny. I had a friend years ago, and he was an interesting person for many reasons. He was extraordinarily bright, and he had at one time been in a PhD program in New Testament theology at a major, you know, well-known seminary. And he had a business on the side in which he did IT consulting, and he ultimately was making so much money doing that he decided he wasn't going to be a professor of New Testament, so he dropped out of the course that he was in and never went back.
Okay.
But somewhere in the midst of all that, I noticed that he was becoming somewhat jaded and disaffected, and whereas at one time he'd had a particular kind of vibrancy to his faith, I think that was drying up and was no longer there. And I remember one time I was talking with him, and he said, he was referring to the morning church service. He and I were in the same church. And he said something about how we have to be there on time for the show. And I said, what do you mean the show? And he said, well, you know, the show. I mean, you know, what they put on every Sunday morning. I said, well, but it's supposed to be a worship service where we engage with the Lord. I don't really think of it as a show. He goes, oh, it's all a show. It's all a three-ring circus. Well, again, he had become somewhat jaded and disillusioned. But I think for a lot of people, they have that sense about, well, church life, spiritual matters, religious life, Christianity, God. I mean, all of it. They just sort of have this deep level of skepticism and I might even say subtle hostility. And on some level, we've probably created that problem for ourselves, because we don't always live in congruence. And on the other hand, there's the external stuff that people bring themselves that, you know, we didn't need to create it for them. So I want to make sure that in everything that I'm doing, I don't create further blockages and barriers along the lines of that kind of, you know, skepticism and hostility. And I don't know what you want to say. You might even call it a kind of a form of mockery, right? To say that it's a show to me is that's pretty pejorative.
Yeah. So how about sharing one of your testimonials with us?
Well, it's funny you're asking that, because I did a broadcast last night with a friend of mine who has a show that people tune into. And we had a reasonable turnout on the show, but late last night before I went to bed, it had been a couple hours since the broadcast had ended as I was going to bed, and he sent me a message and said, we've already had now well over 7,000 people that have watched this, which in the scheme of podcasting is not that big, But given that we weren't anywhere near that when we did the podcast, it tells you people were sharing it, they were coming to see it. Maybe it didn't fit their schedule when it originally broadcast. Anyway, and he said, and I thought you'd be interested in this testimony that came in not too long after the show. Now, while just background, when I was on the show, I had had what I would term, it's a term that comes out of the Bible, I had had a word of knowledge. So okay. This is something where God gives a person an insight into some fact or data point that they otherwise wouldn't have any knowledge of. Mm-hmm. And so this is supernatural, right? It's a supernatural piece of knowledge, and it's God communicating to his servants. Not everybody gets these. Many times it's because they're not really open to them. They don't even know they're a thing. Well, mm-hmm. I had gotten one, and it was that the Lord wanted to heal people's feet. And I called out several aspects of the human foot that I thought the Lord was healing. And one of them had to do with bone spurs in the heel. And then there was, if you think of your feet, think of the outer part of your foot. I said there's several people who have pain on that outer part. And I think God is healing bunions, which is, you know, where the ball of the foot is. And then mm-hmm. I had a couple words about insteps. And as we were doing this, on the chat stream supporting the broadcast, people started saying, my feet are sweating, or I feel fire in my heat, or in my feet, or, you know, whatever they were reporting. But they were giving testimony to what was going on, because God was now physically confirming the word of knowledge that I'd given. So here's the testimony that he sent me. And I'm reading it unedited just as it came in, because I think it has more pungency. And since we're talking about authenticity, it feels more authentic if it's not highly edited. Yes. So this is what this individual wrote. I want to share with you how huge this healing is in my foot. I had bone spurs many years ago, and from walking on my tiptoes to compensate for the pain, something happened in the joint of my right great toe and completely destroyed that socket. I had a very unsuccessful surgery 20 years ago and hadn't been the same since. There wasn't a day in my life without pain and burning and not being able to move my toe. The pain had been so bad all those years that it was hard to keep a job for long, because walking out of alignment also caused pain in my knees and hips. Mm-hmm. Praise God, I haven't been pain-free for so long. This will open up opportunities for me to be able to get back to working full-time, and I'll be able to get a home. This is so huge. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
So there's somebody who had an encounter with God's power. And again, I read it verbatim the way it was sent over to me, but that's an example of the kinds of things that we see pretty routinely. And this, just to be clear, this happened just last night, less than 24 hours ago.
That's pretty amazing. As much as I believe in miracles and have experienced them in my life, every time I hear something like this, it makes me more excited, you know, like the first time I heard it. It's just really amazing. I love it. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure, yeah.
So, Ken, what do you believe is the first step for a person who isn't really experiencing this and wants to experience God moving in a more miraculous way in their life?
Yeah, I think, first of all, let's be clear. I don't know that there's one formulaic answer, but I think there are some key principles that mm-hmm. people probably need to give some thought to and, where appropriate, implement them in their life. And I think one of the big ones is the scripture itself says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I think for a lot of people, their engagement with God is very half-hearted. They may go through a whole day and not really think about him very much. Or they maybe wouldn't even know the last time even touched a Bible, let alone opened one and read from it. So there are many things that go with seeking God. Those are a couple of them, but there could be others. There could be to develop a practice or a consistency, maybe in attending church and worshiping God. That might be something. There might be possibly adopting some disciplines of spirituality, such as regular times of prayer or fasting. I mean, there's a number of things we could talk about. I don't want to make it sound like if you do this, then this will happen. It's not that mechanical. It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. But the point is, there are a lot of people who are very inconsistent or maybe absent altogether from any sort of engagement with God. So people need to seek the Lord and turn their face toward him. And I would add to that, going back to my story of my friend who had dropped out of this program where he was studying to be a theologian, I think for a lot of people, they need to resolve their resentment toward God, maybe their hostility toward God, because they think, you know, God has let them down, and, you know, he's done them dirt. And the scripture says that God is always good, and it's actually his kindness and his mercy that lead us to him. So I don't think it's right to accuse God unfairly. In the book of Job, and almost everybody knows at least the name of Job, and they know that he was a man who suffered greatly. Even if they don't know the whole story, even if they don't know the Bible, you know, people talk about the sufferings of Job, or, you know, what's your name, Job? They make jokes about it. So there is this sort of common cultural knowledge of this man, Job, whoever he was. But in the book of Job, you know, when Job first starts to have his problems, and, you know, he loses his family, and he loses his livestock, and he loses what I guess would be his livelihood, his business, you know, his wife turns against him, and even his own health fails. It says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, because, you know, life is hard. Life has a lot of ups and downs to it. And oftentimes we go through long periods of challenge and, you know, difficulty and testing. I mean, we as a nation, we as a planet are in a period like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it would be easy to raise the fist and, you know, curse God. And in fact, Job's wife says to him, curse God and die. And there are a lot of people who have adopted that frame of mind and certainly a lifestyle that reflects that way of thinking. But I think it's really important to lay down all of that agenda with respect to God, because if you just think about human relationships, never mind, you know, one with a divine being, you know, if I started insulting you on this podcast and, you know, calling you names and saying things about how you weren't yourself an authentic person, and yet how dare you, you know, have a podcast called Dare to Be Authentic, if I were to start doing all that, I think our relationship would be pretty challenged, and it might be that this broadcast would end prematurely. And yet people think they can do this all the time with God and that it's all just going to be fine. And I think he's a big enough God. I think he understands. I think he can be patient. And there are many times he will let people, if you will, have their rant. At the same time, we have to lay that down and come back to him and say, you know, I was wrong to have said these things about you. I'm really sorry. You know, how do I get to know you as you want to be known? And so there's not only this business of not charging God with wrongdoing, but I might even say there's also a kind of humility. Yeah. And the scripture says God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. So I think these are three really important components. And I can just tell you from my own experience, when I first was reading in the Bible and I started seeing all these supernatural things, I mean, they were always there, but for some reason it was just heightened to me. And I was like, how come I'm not living in this? Why are none of my friends living in this? And I began to pursue it and pray about it and seek it. As I began to do all of that, that was when the doors started to open. And they didn't all open at once. It wasn't like, you know, the next day, boom. It was more of a journey that, in my case, probably to my first, you know, legitimate contact where my mother's mouth was healed, I think that was about maybe it was 5 or 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And then since then, my ongoing journey, I've seen many, many incredible, incredible things. But I would say it's continued to grow as I've continued to pursue this. It wasn't one and done. And so I think the other thing we have to talk about is a long obedience in the same direction. We have to become, you know, this has to become part of our new lifestyle. It has to become part of our new way of thinking about the world and how we're going to relate to it. And we are now incorporating God into our world, whereas maybe previously we didn't do that very much.
Yeah. Very good. We're going to take a quick break to listen to hear from our sponsors. And if you'd like to call in and ask Ken a question, you can call. The call-in number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
We see the oppression that goes on before our eyes when priests and police get away with heinous crimes. The Veronica Journey on Amazon and Kindle. Once upon a time, the Pope controlled everything. People were slaughtered brutally, and whole cultures were destroyed for not submitting. What if the Vatican would have had guns, nuclear weapons, Hitler's technology, cars, and spaceships? The Veronica Journey on Amazon and available on Kindle.
Are you a highly successful, purpose-driven professional woman who is tired of settling for less than what you want? If yes, then you need a copy of Dr. Denise Moore's book, Own Your Amazing, Discover Your Power to Create an Amazing Life You Love. In this award-nominated and number one best-selling book, Dr. Denise provides the essential principles you need to find your voice and live your worth out loud. Go to ownyouramazingnow.com to get a free excerpt from the book.
Is pain keeping you awake at night? Do you often feel not good enough? Through acts4transformation.com, A-C-T-S, the word for transformation.com, you can discover your core emotional needs and raise awareness of your limiting beliefs and your hidden potential. Kim Nai-Chi Lee is a qualified therapist and a creative coach, providing unique, authentic connection coaching. acts4transformation aims to help 10,000 people to a mastery of their own life. Come and sign up for a trial session now.
What you know about money is making you broke. I'm author Ted McClyman. I help smart, busy people discover why your money temperament is making you broke and then show you how to fix it in 5 easy steps. Discover Your Money Temperament, A Common Sense Guide to Financial Security, is an easy read for everybody who spends money and wants to make better money choices. Order your copy now at www.tedmcclyman.com and learn why success with money is about managing your behavior, not your money.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Ken Fish, talking about his passion for connecting people to the supernatural, tangible, and practical reality of the God of the Bible. So, Ken, let's talk a little bit about what your main message is for the public.
You know, my main message is that God can be known and he wants to be known. And not only can he be known, I mean, that's the one sentence answer, but not only can he be known, but he's actually actively seeking to engage with people who don't know him. And so, you know, you'll hear people use all kinds of language to describe that, but I really believe God is eminently relational. He loves to have relationship with people, and oftentimes we are estranged from him, we're alienated from him. Sometimes that's because of, well, in my example that I gave you, you know, we've done things that have, as it were, stuck our thumb in his eye. Sometimes we've engaged in things in our own lifetime that have become destructive and damaging. Mm-hmm. And other times people are just completely ignorant. They don't even know there is a God. They don't even know that he cares enough to want to connect with them. And you know, the whole message of Christianity is that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that anyone who believes in his son won't perish, will have everlasting life, and everlasting life begins with that relationship that I was just talking about. So everything that I do is somehow an extension of that, but I may not always be quote-unquote preaching that message. I want people to realize that God is not a theory. And for a lot of people, God is very theoretical. They may have, whatever, read doctrine. They may have had some sort of catechism when they were a kid, maybe in a Catholic church or something. You know, they've seen a lot of things that cause them to question many things. And I think for the vast majority of people who are living in our society today, most of them do not have any kind of an integrated or synthesized view of the world that's rooted in scriptural thinking and who God is. And part of what I want to do is see people come back to knowing that God. The prophet Isaiah, centuries ago, about 2,800 years ago, he had God speak to him, and he said, "I want you to say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." And so, you know, you might almost say of this that I want people in America today, and I would say even beyond America, because I travel around the world and do what I do. But I want people to, I want to say to all the peoples of the world, take a look. Take a look at who this God is that's actually after you. Why wouldn't you want this?
Yeah, very nice. Love that, Ken. So let's talk for a moment about how to get a hold of you.
Easiest way to get a hold of me is through my internet website, which is orbisministries.org, and Orbis is spelled O-R-B like Bravo, I-S. That's a Latin word, and it means the world. So orbisministries.org. We also have a training school for people who want to, you know, learn how to do some of these things that I've been describing. They have a hunger for that, and that has its own website. You can find it through the page I just gave, but if you want to go directly to the school website, that's orbissm.com. SM stands for School of Ministry, so orbissm.com. Yep, there's two S's in that.
Okay, perfect. And you can also find Ken on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Click on the radio show page. He's already there with his picture, a link to his website, and a link to this interview, which I hope you will pass along because he's just got so much good news for us here. So, Ken, is there one last thing you'd like to say to listeners, something that's on your heart right now?
Yeah, I think the thing I want to leave everyone with is, no matter what you may have heard about God that is in any way pejorative or harmful or angry, don't believe that. Take another look at whatever you think you know and challenge your own assumptions. Because, you know, I started on this journey, literally, as I said, it was a dangerous thing. I just started reading the Bible. But in it, I saw things in there that I wasn't seeing in my own world. And I said, how come? And God, in his faithfulness, took me on a journey. It took a few months, but, you know, I did come to a place where I actually met people where they were seeing these things. And then pretty soon I was seeing these things. And now my life is filled with the supernatural. And so, you know, for a lot of people, if they never challenge their assumptions, they'll remain stuck where they are. And in my world, that would have meant I would have continued to be some sort of a Christian that never experienced God's miraculous power that way. And it was really as I challenged those fundamental assumptions and was willing to rethink things, as I did that, that was when things broke loose. And so I really would like to leave that with everybody who feels alienated or disaffected or even thinks I'm out of my mind. It's okay if you think I'm out of my mind. I don't have a problem with that. I would just say test and see, and you'll find out that maybe I'm not as crazy as you think.
Yeah, I love that you started the show by saying you were going to talk about the supernatural side of Christianity. I had never seen it put that way, and it kind of like almost surprised me because nobody ever says that. What do you mean the supernatural side of Christianity? Of course it exists, but people don't talk about it that way, right? People use the word supernatural to talk about a completely different thing that has usually nothing to do with Christianity. So I love that you put it that way. I love everything that you've shared today. We have about a minute if you have one last thing you'd like to say.
Yeah, one last thing to say is virtually everywhere you see anything supernatural or miraculous or beyond the normal on exhibit in the pages of the Bible, in virtually every single one of those, that has been undertaken by the Lord to help people, to benefit them, and to get them out of whatever difficulty they're in. Nothing has changed. God wants to help you where you are today, too. So don't stay stuck.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Ken. It's been absolutely a delight having you. Thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Remember to pass this along. This will be available, a replay instantly, and will be available indefinitely. And join us for the next Dare to Be Authentic radio show.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.